This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Hallie Zander, here with your top stories this Thursday. A new bill in Colorado could require social media companies to respond more quickly to search warrants from state law enforcement. It passed the Colorado Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. Bipartisan supporters say it would help investigators solve crimes like the sexual exploitation and trafficking of minors, as well as illegal drug sales online. Several Aspen parents who lost their kids to accidental fentanyl overdoses have pushed for similar legislation. That includes a more robust version of this bill proposed last year. That bill would have required social media platforms to do more to remove users involved in criminal activity. But it was vetoed by Governor Jared Polis last spring. Polis was concerned it would force social media companies to act as law enforcement and could harm people's freedom of speech and privacy. Backers of the new bill say the governor has indicated he'll support this narrower version. It now heads to the state Senate. Snowmass Village probably won't be transitioning to electric buses anytime soon. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports the town doesn't think the technology has advanced far enough for the transition to make sense.
Snowmass just finished studying what the transition to zero-emission buses would look like. That was partially for its own sustainability goals, but the town is also required to have a zero-emission transition plan in order to be eligible for federal grants. Transportation Director Sam Guarino said he was surprised to learn how difficult the process would be.
I started this process thinking that we'd come out of it with a "we'll be fully transitioned by year 2038 or whatever it is. And it became really clear really quick that that would put us in a very difficult situation.
Part of the problem is that the town uses a specific bus size that only has one electric manufacturer in the U.S. The electric options also wouldn't be able to complete a full day of routes without stopping to charge. Guarino suggested waiting until the technology develops before buying electric buses. He did say that smaller transit vans could probably go electric sooner, and that hybrid buses could be an option in the meantime. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
Riders of Snowmass Village's shared bikes increased more than 500% last year. That was thanks to a major expansion of the town's WeCycle program, going from 15 pedal bikes to nearly 100 electric bikes. Guarino went to tell town council this week that ridership of the village shuttle also grew.
What that means is that instead of rides being taken away from the village shuttle, it influenced more people to utilize means other than the personal automobile.
Guarino said the riders were a mix of daily commuters and visitors. Snowmass's WeCycle bike fleet is the first in the valley to be all electric to accommodate the incline-heavy terrain. Aspen City Council unanimously selected 520 Grill to lease the subsidized restaurant space at 455 Rio Grande Place. The city has leased the space at a discounted rate since 2012. 520 Grill owner Troy Selby was one of 12 applicants for the city-owned space. Councilwoman Christine Benedetti chose 520 Grill over the other finalists, Bamboo Bear and Jaffa Kitchen, because Selby has already proven he can operate a successful restaurant in downtown Aspen.
I think they're ready to serve Aspen now, and they've proven that they can successfully do it after 15 years in business.
Selby currently owns Silver Peak Grill in Aspen. It opened as 520 Grill before they rebranded in 2020. The city will begin lease negotiations with Selby soon. Selby said he wants to open 30 to 45 days after a lease was signed. Colorado's new air quality standard requires the state to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 50% by 2030. That standard could force landfills to implement new monitoring systems. In a press release issued yesterday, Garfield County warned that installing a greenhouse gas control system at its landfill could cost up to $2 million. The regulations are slated to go into effect this spring. Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park has filed for bankruptcy 5 years after a child died on one of its rides. The park filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection on Monday. Last year, a judge found the park's parent company partially liable in the 2021 death of 6-year-old Wangel Estefanos. She fell more than 100 feet from a drop ride after employees failed to notice she wasn't buckled in. Her family received a final settlement of $116 million. Bankruptcy pauses most debt collection. In a statement, the park said it will keep operating as it reorganizes. In statewide news, three Democrats joined Republicans to defeat one of their party's priority affordable housing bills this week. The bill would have opened the door for local communities to tax vacant homes. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
70% of the housing in some Colorado mountain towns sits empty most of the year, vacation homes with absent owners. The bill would have let local governments impose a vacancy tax on those properties with voter approval. Elizabeth Velasco of Glenwood Springs was a main sponsor. She says it was meant to address the housing crisis in the high country.
In these rural resort communities, you know, people have to commute for up to 2 hours each way to make it to work. The fear that we heard from people was really around not really understanding what this issue is in rural communities.
But the bill faced strong pushback from second homeowners, realtors, and builders, and some local officials said it would be hard to implement. A similar proposal in San Francisco was ruled unconstitutional.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The government funding package recently signed into law includes a number of health care provisions, including improving language services. CPR's Caitlin Kim reports.
Non-English speakers are getting more options for telehealth services in a language they can understand. Angel Marilos is with Colorado's Libra Initiative, a grassroots group that engages with the Latino community. Marilos' group advocated for the bipartisan measure that passed this week, saying telehealth has been an equalizer.
But it's only as useful as if people are able to understand what they're able to receive from telehealth.
Marilos adds better understanding can help improve health outcomes and reduce costs related to medical errors. The health package also included reforms to drive down prescription drug prices and reauthorize several programs, including those that address preterm birth. In Washington, D.C., I'm Caitlin Kim, CPR News.
Two collared gray wolves have died in Colorado over the past month. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh has more.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife reported that the 3-year-old male imported from Oregon in 2023 died on January 28th during what the agency said was a routine collaring operation. Further captures have since been paused. Samantha Miller, senior carnivore campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity, told KDNK that the loss of this wolf is a blow to the reintroduction project.
The death of this wolf, who is the father of the King Mountain wolf family, is a painful reminder that every wolf matters in Colorado's small, still recovering wolf population.
Another gray wolf died on January 16th. This time it was a female, originally part of the group of 15 wolves relocated from British Columbia in 2025. CPW has not disclosed cause of death or location other than she was found dead in the northwestern part of the state. These two deaths bring the total of wolf deaths in the state to 14 since relocation began in 2023. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
More than 100 high school students held a rally at the state capitol yesterday calling for tighter gun laws. The event was part of an annual Statehouse Advocacy Day for Colorado members of Students Demand Action. This year, students urged lawmakers to pass a bill that would expand Colorado's existing ban on 3D-printed ghost guns and their parts. They were joined at the rally by two of the bill's Democratic sponsors. In regional news, the Trump administration's rescinding of the policy known as the endangerment finding is drawing criticism from environmental and public health groups. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports, the move will likely face legal battles.
The administration is calling the rescission, quote, the largest deregulatory action in American history, a move it says will save trillions of dollars in red tape. But critics say the move will gut a critical provision in federal environmental law and leave Americans facing risks from the harmful pollutants that emanate from industries, power plants, and vehicles. Melissa Ramos is with the American Lung Association and says, for instance, urban areas in some Mountain West states would face significantly less federal pressure to address longstanding problems.
We're seeing emissions from cars and trucks, as well as extreme heat. That's all driving up ozone pollution, while prolonged drought and catastrophic wildfires are also contributing to particle pollution.
The Lung Association and a growing list of health and environmental groups say they will fight the rescission in court. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Hallie Zander. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.